You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Hello, hello, and of course I'm here with Lost Boy Philip. And Philip, you have been selected to attend Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry.
Me?
Yes, and term begins September 1st, which is the day we're releasing this episode, so I hope you're prepared.
I am prepared.
Good. Yeah. Oh, I guess, yeah, I was going to have you scoot your microphone closer, but I don't know if we can get it any closer to you. We just have to lean in a little bit there. I want to make sure we can hear you good.
Okay.
There we go. There's all that right. Sweet sultry sound of that pastor voice.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, see, you got, all right, throw it out there. Come on. How you doing?
How you doing?
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. So, yes, we're asking y'all how you doing. You realize it's been 20 years since Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone came out in theaters. Not the anniversary of the book. The movie. Does that make you feel old? 20
years ago. I
already
feel old.
I mean, we're talking the child actors in there are now in their 30s.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I was in my 20s at the time. Barely 20. It was about 21.
Yeah. It was 2001 when this came out. So, I mean, I'd have been, just 24.
Yeah.
I would have turned 24.
Well, I guess I was 25 then.
Yes, you were.
And I couldn't remember. I know I was in my 20s.
Yep.
But I remember going to see it because I didn't know what it was about.
Well, we'll dive into that later. Yeah. Right now, we're just previewing the show. But we're going to talk about that. We've also this week had some samplings of my, I think I mentioned this on the show before. I bought a book that is called The Unofficial Hogwarts Holidays Cookbook. We actually tried some things out of there. I tried to make a couple of things. There was one more thing I wanted to try making, but things didn't work out the way I planned it at all. So I haven't gotten to make any pumpkin pasties, but I did make pumpkin juice and some butterbeer, and we've tried that. So we've got that coming up on the show. We're going to share some memories on that. Plus, also, we're going to dedicate some time to... I'm kind of glad that we didn't get to record the show over the weekend, that we're recording it now, because we were able to talk about the passing of Ed Asner. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, that'll be coming up on the show. And, of course, a lot of our regular fun features, news, talk, and information. And I've got a lot of stuff going on in the trailer park. In fact, something that I think I missed out on last month for the trailer park, I didn't realize it happened. Now I'm getting caught up. And if you hear jingling in the background, we have a kitten running around here. Well, she's not a kitten. She's about 2 years old now. But she's got her collar thing on, and every little move she makes is going to jingle. So if you hear that, just imagine some little pixies and things running around shaped like a cat.
I actually believe it's a cat trying to turn itself into a witch like in the film.
Well, let's hope not. Let's hope not. But, while we're getting... Well, I guess I'll mention this more on the what have you been playing. But we'll begin with host chatter of... what have you been watching? Because I got to point this out. So I have been marathoning Friends on HBO Max right now, which, oh, I have a movie review for that. I forgot to do it last week. I got to do a movie review this week. Something else I've been watching. But so I've been marathoning Friends, and I realize I am a mixture of all three of the main character men. I am as awkward and weird and nerdy as Ross. Mm-hmm. I have Chandler's smart aleck sense of humor. And also he was kind of the school nerdy person. Like, yeah. And then Joey with his weird eyes that he does whenever he makes a realization or freaks out. I do that same eye thing. It's one of your favorite pictures of me is me with my eyes.
Yeah. You got a couple of them actually.
Yeah, I have a pair of them. Yeah. But my eyes do that exact same thing. And it's so funny. Matt LeBlanc, credit to you, because he uses those very effectively and making Joey very, very funny.
Yes.
When he pops those eyes, I'm like, yeah, I have Joey's eyes, Chandler's sense of humor, and Ross's nerdiness.
That's right.
I can relate to all three of those guys.
Dark brown eyes have an ability to do that, almost cartoon-like, and I like it. Because people used to use black, for the and dark brown has that closeness look to it.
So. Yeah, Heather likes to compare it to Animal, the Muppet.
Well, I can
it. I'm more Gonzo than I am Animal, I would say.
I say nothing.
Well, okay. You know, I'm a little weirdo.
I'm a little weirdo,
short and stout. My nose is almost as big.
I say nothing.
So you've been watching anything good on TV this week?
I'm watching a few things. One of the things, the films I found, and there's some honorness in it. So I, you know, I that's my word for saying some things that may be inappropriate. So I don't say much to that. But I found a film. I was watching some Burt Reynolds things. I found a film called The Last Movie Star.
I think I've heard of that.
Yeah, it came out in 2018, just a couple of months, a few months before he died. And so he made it just like shortly before he passed away. And it's basically about a movie star who had been popular and everything, had been married five times. Pretty much it's all about Burt because he goes by the name Vic Edwards. And if you have Amazon, you can watch it on there. Well, if you have Stars, you can watch it on there. And I don't remember if it's on Stars or Amazon. I'm not sure which. But you can watch it on there. And in truth, it's a good show. It does have language and things, but it's a good movie. And what they do that's really great is all the Burt shows that he appeared on, Johnny Carson or whatever, it shows it, except that they changed the name from Burt to Vic. Huh. And there's even...
So it's autobiographical without really being autobiographical.
That way, he's not attacking any of his ex-wives.
Right. Yeah.
He's not attacking any of that stuff and not attacking any actors. But he talks basically about his faults, about the time that he punched a director, about all the times that he lied about being a stuntman. He really did do that. Burt did. I've seen his biography before. He lies that he's a stuntman and really did fall off a horse when they told him to, you know, and did all that stuff. And that's how he got into acting, was by being a stuntman and playing an Indian and things like that. Did all those things.
Yeah, I remember seeing him playing an Indian on a TV. I think on Gunsmoke, maybe.
Yeah, that's one of them.
I've seen Leonard Nimoy playing an Indian actually on Wagon Train.
Yeah, they used to do that stuff. They would use whatever one whose skin was a smidge of a different tone. Whether it be Italian or Jewish or whatever, they used to do that.
And in black and white, you could get away
with it. Couldn't see it, so you could never tell. But that being said, and especially if you're a good actor, because you can change your voice, you can change your style, whatever it is. And all that being said was...
You have a cat that decided you liked your lap.
Yeah, and so they used to do that kind of stuff quite a bit. And in this film, you get to see where he talks about what he did and right and wrong.
Yeah.
And there's two scenes, great scenes. One was, I can't remember if it was from Deliverance or which film was, where he shows him... fishing with a bow, and it shows him as an old man on the boat yelling at himself, "Don't make these same mistakes, Vic," he says. He's yelling at himself. And another one, it shows him from the scene smoking the Bandit, and he's yelling at himself, "Vic, slow down. Life's too short." He goes, "Quit making the same
mistakes." He does not like to be held down like that, by the way.
Well, I
see
down.
Her starting to fight with you because, she's weird that
he's
way.
He's saying, don't make the same mistakes that I've made, Vic. He goes, "You life's too short for that."
Yeah.
And so that's the way this film is. It's really good. It's really good because you get to see basically the life of Burt, but yet it's not. Anyway, it's really good.
Yeah. So now the next thing, we go, what have you been playing? And this is where I'd like to announce that on... You have to search it very specifically because there is a Neverland Gaming channel that's already out on YouTube, but the official Neverland Gaming channel. And you got to make sure you put the official Neverland Gaming channel. I have started what I'm calling Scare Play 2021. Every day up and through Halloween, I am playing a survival horror game or a horror game of some sort for at least an hour, because, you know, I do have other things I have to get done. I'll be live streaming these. Unfortunately, I don't know exactly what time I'll be able to stream, because I have to kind of just do it when I can. I've already got two streams done. I've started out by playing a game called The Evil Within, which I have never played before. I am doing terrible at it so far. But because it's survival horror, I was not going to lower the difficulty level. I'm going to do it the full experience of the horror of how will I ever survive this. And it's got a lot of stealth elements to it, and I'm not good at stealth games. But if you mess up on stealth, some horrible thing will come and stick an axe through your head or something. You know, I will warn you now, if you are children, I don't recommend you come and watch me play this, because this has been violent and horrible and woo. When you die, you get to watch what horrible thing happened to you. I've had my head cut off and a chainsaw shoved through my chest. It's pretty bloody. So kids, don't come watch this. But those of you who are grown or you like this sort of thing, come over and check it out. That's what I'll be playing this every day until I complete. Oh, hi, Kitty. Yeah, you can come up in my lap. I know how you like laps. She likes laps a certain way. It's just kind of really difficult. This one. Cat's wanting to go. Oh, I got a phone call coming in. I'm going to ignore it because it's an 800 number. But I will play The Evil Within until I complete it. And then after that, I haven't decided, because Resident Evil Code Veronica X, I've never actually finished that game. So I'm thinking I could play that one, but I've also been sitting on for a long time. I have a copy and I've never gotten to play it, but I've heard so much good stuff about it. All right, come on, kitty cat. I'll help you up on my lap. You're being a distraction. Come here. Come here. I got you. But Alien Isolation.
Heard of it.
Yes, where basically you're being hunted by an intelligent alien on the Nostromo as Ripley's daughter.
Oh, boy.
If I freak out playing it, because people say, you know, grown men have been reduced to shivers with this thing because this alien is stalking you and it's almost unpredictable. You go hide. You don't know if it's actually going to sniff you out. And they even got it set up if you wanted to with like a VR set. It could hear you breathing. You breathing. Like the microphone on the control would pick up your breathing and it could hear you.
Wow.
And will come get you.
Well,
I'm not going to be doing any VR thing, so the alien will not hear me breathing. But if you want to see me get freaked out, perhaps by an alien, then perhaps later this month. Until then, though, I'm playing The Evil Within, which fun about it is it's one of the creators of Resident Evil 4, which is one of my favorite of the Resident Evil games. So it has that like sort of action element. Only they added the intensity by putting in those stealth bits where I have to sneak and then have a basically trying to get away from a guy that I can't kill because I've got no weapons and is a big guy with a chainsaw. That's how the game started. That's the first thing I had to do was get away from that guy.
Now they need to have a Predator game just identical.
Well, they've sort of done that. There is a Predator game that's kind of like that Friday the 13th game out where one person is playing as Jason and everybody else is a camp counselor. There is a Predator game, but apparently it wasn't as good as they would hope. But one person is a Predator, and then everybody else is like a commando.
Trying to get to the choppa?
The commandos actually have a mission to complete, and the Predator is hunting them while they're trying to complete a mission and then get out. But, of course, there's all these commandos. They can overwhelm the Predator, so it didn't balance very well.
Yeah.
Where did you go, kitty cat? Okay, are you going to sit in that chair? Yeah, the younger cat that I have around here, she loves getting in laps, especially when we're sitting at the table like we are now. She'll climb up in your lap. And so if you hear us get distracted by a cat, that's what's going on. She's not big for attention, but she loves to get in your lap. And since it's getting close to her feeding time, she'll make a pest of herself because she wants attention. So that if you hear us suddenly talk about a cat, that's what's going on. We have a cat that might be climbing up our leg and trying to get into our lap. And
she's
then
a predator.
She's being a predator. She wants some food. Okay, but moving on, I actually do have a little bit of news to discuss.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
Okay, I have found a way to where every week I can look at what new games are coming out this week. So we're starting there. There's Kiwi for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, and PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, PC, released on August 31st. I have no idea what Kiwi is, but it looks like it has little Kiwi birds, like New Zealand birds, so it looks like very cute. But I'm going to mainly go after what looks to be interesting. I haven't heard of a lot of these games, but the one thing I definitely want to bring up with you, Philip, is Big Rumble Boxing Creed Champions.
Oh.
PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Now, if it'll play on a PlayStation 4, I figure you can play the PlayStation 4 version on the PS5. But it is exactly what you think. It's Creed. Now, Big Rebel Boxing, I'm sure, is probably a boxing series of games that's already been out.
I've heard of it, yeah.
But this... Oh, and let's see. I can open up a look here. Let me get a good look at this. Well, it didn't tell me a whole lot. It's being made by Survios. It's a fighting game coming September 3rd. So it'll be out by the end of the week. You can pre-order or purchase this game. But yeah, on the cover, Mr. T, also known as
Clubber Lang.
Clubber Lang, right? Ivan Drago, Rocky, Apollo, and of course, Creed's son.
I may have to get that.
Yes, buddy. I knew you were going to want this thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Also, The Medium is coming for the PlayStation 5, which I think this is the game that's already been out on PlayStation 4. Yeah. I would actually like to play this thing because it's kind of a scary game.
I'll do the PlayStation 5 one, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, well, not The Medium so much.
No.
The Medium is the PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
But the boxing game, Big Rumble Boxing Creed Champions, is not listed for PlayStation 5, but the PlayStation 4 game will play on a PlayStation 5.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, that's coming out on September 3rd, so that'll be, what, Friday?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of other things. I'm kind of wondering what El Shaddai is, but it's a PC game. But a lot of different things.
I know what the word means.
Yeah, El Shaddai. Yeah, I know what that would mean, but it's El Shaddai, Ascension of the Metatron. So I don't know. Some looks like some sort of RPG, perhaps. I don't know. But yeah, those are some games that are coming out this week. Speaking of things coming out this week, take a listen at this. Of course, you're not going to be able to see what I'm seeing over here. Now, of course, you're only going to hear some audio, but what I'm seeing here is we already know about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge coming out. Let's see. The developer is Dotemu. I'm not sure exactly. This will be on Nintendo Switch and Steam at the moment. Now, I'm going to imagine it will eventually be, of course, on PlayStation and the Xbox. The description we have here is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge will feature, here's the news, will feature April O'Neil, star reporter and beloved ally to the heroes in the Half Shell, as a playable fighter.
Yay!
When the game launches Nintendo Switch and PC in 2022.
Awesome.
And basically what you get to see, this video here, and I'm going to go ahead and stop this video, they showed team-up moves.
Good.
And basically she got her, like, her video camera and smacking stuff with her video camera. And doing these big, giant flying kicks. Because I guess they're going from the idea that Splinter may have taught her a few moves.
I would like to see Casey Jones.
Yes, I'm hoping we're going to hear about Casey Jones going to be part of the game, too.
That would be great.
Maybe Casey a few Jones, other characters.
Casey Jones is one of my favorite.
Usagi Yojimbo.
Jimbo, yeah. I can't think of
it. Usagi Yojimbo is supposed to be getting a Netflix series.
I heard that.
Because he's actually not a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles character.
No, but he was involved with the same.
They put him in as an episode. And
a couple different toys, remember?
I remember the one toy.
That was the main one.
Yeah,
and he came back and he had almost like a, he had kind of an armor, and I don't mean like armor in war, but it, you know, talking Japanese armor and all that.
Yeah, because I remember the samurai armor one. Yeah, that was his original one. But what was the other one?
Yeah, the other one where he was using had the blue. It had wearing the blue. This is a later on one.
Oh, like the blue kimono.
Yeah, thing. Yeah. It was a later on one.
Oh, okay.
More like the cartoon. It wasn't perfect, but it was close.
Nice. You
know? Yeah.
Well, other bits of news getting outside of games. Please join me in congratulating. I'm reading this exactly how it was printed to Facebook. Please join me in congratulating Bill Farmer, Goofy, for anyone who doesn't know, on his top honor at the VoiceOver Legend Award 2021 at the One Voice Conference USA.
Absolutely.
Well done, Bill Farmer. I've gotten to meet him.
Yes.
I should have. Oh, you know, well, I
met him. He's just
trying
very
to
nice
find
guy.
Hit the audio of that with that hard drive loss that I had a while back.
Oh, but, yeah.
I did get to meet and talk to him for a little bit. And
he's not a goofy guy at all. Just a goofy voice.
Although I had fun very thing. I asked him, so how long have you been a little goofy?
Oh, Jerry.
And he had fun with it. I'm sure he gets that a lot.
Yeah.
And he is kind of a goofy and fun guy. He was a stand-up comedian before. He is a very
funny
guy.
He's very fun.
And he's
light-hearted.
Just a delight. All right, so other bits of news that we're going to dive into is, and I haven't been over to the Oak Park Mall here locally to see if it's gone, but the Disney stores are closing.
Oh.
But what, well, I apparently have an ad blocker on this particular browser, and I can't get into the article that I've gotten off of USA Today. But what's happening is Target is going to add more than 100 Disney store locations by the end of 2021. So Disney stores are, I guess, being phased out. But Target is going to have, like, Disney sections where they're going to carry a lot of Disney merchandise.
Good.
So, you
there's
know.
More Targets than there are the others, so.
Yeah.
That's
so yeah. What all they're going to have, because one thing is, you know, Disney store, I could even find, and I never got any, but I really wanted they were basically action figures that, but they were designed like the Disney Infinity figures where they had that style.
I've seen them online.
And I don't know if it's going to be harder to get a hold of some of that merchandise, because really the Disney store, you could find a lot of the merchandise that maybe would be something you'd only think about getting at the parks, but it would be available somewhere other than being strictly at the parks. So I kind of want to go down. I should do that this week. Go down to Oak Park Mall and then maybe ask, like, are you guys going to be closing down? When are you guys getting shut down sometime soon? Or because, you know, there another, what did it, I don't have the article up, but was another 200 stores, did I just say, by the end of 2021? So, I mean, it's a slow process.
They may say, we didn't know. No, I'm kidding.
We don't know. We're getting closed. So the other thing, though, so the GamesCon had actually happened this week, which is how I, you know, got a lot of the information about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Or actually, by now, it was last week. But also, last Tuesday, there was CinemaCon was going on, and Warner Brothers actually came through and showed a trailer, which I don't think is online yet. I haven't looked for it online, but The Matrix Resurrections.
Yeah, I heard that they're working on it.
So this is the fourth in the Matrix series, which really, do we need that? But there's a description on Deadline that says the trailer begins with Neil Patrick Harris talking to Keanu Reeves' Neo, a near-future San Francisco. It appears that Neo is trapped in a humdrum world, much like his first self in the 1999 movie. He's just not getting his surroundings. And he asks his therapist, which is Neil Patrick Harris, am I crazy? We don't use that word here, says Neil Patrick Harris, the therapist. But Carrie Ann Moss makes an appearance in a cafe. Have we met? So it's very confusing of what's actually going on. But they did show, there, I guess, some clips of a lot of jumping, a lot of twists in midair, karate, and all the acrobats we expect from a Matrix movie. It wasn't karate. It was kung fu.
I'll be honest. Now, this just comes from
me. Yeah, you're not a fan of it.
No. That's okay. it's grown on me. But I'm not a huge fan of the Matrix. I like the second one. It's kind of won me over.
The second one? Really? Because the first one's the good one.
Well, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying I was won over by a lot of the action where I went and watched the first one again. And I didn't like a lot of things about it, but I liked a lot of the basis of the story. And the third one, I liked it until the ending because it was kind of depressing.
Yeah, the ending does not make sense unless you watched the Animatrix.
I did watch that just in
case. The Animatrix does kind of help because it shows that they actually needed to find a balance in a treaty without one destroying the other, and that's kind of what it does. But with the average moviegoer, you want to have the humans victorious over the machines.
Yeah.
And what you got was, actually, no, we're going to be at peace, and we're going to live together in whatever fashion.
So I am kind of glad
they're
making
it. Which you only can get to when you realize, when the Animatrix shows that that humans were not as altruistic as we would expect humans to be.
So I'm kind of hoping that this will end it on a better note.
We'll see. Now, the interesting thing is this is being directed by Lana Wachowski, who used to be one of the Wachowski brothers, but they're trans. So
yeah.
I don't know where the other Wachowski is. I don't know if one of them is doing this or both of them. I have no idea, but I expect this is coming out probably. There we go. It's slated to come out December 22nd. Of course, I'll be too busy being occupied with Spider-Man No Way Home is coming in December as well. So I'm fairly excited. Oh, hi, Kitty. She's back in my lap. Okay, now you need to sit and be good for a little bit. Okay, sit here and be good. Meow for the microphone for me. Okay, whine and cry for your food. Okay, but that's what I have for all of my news. And now it's, of course, time to go visit the trailer park.
Mama, now the gator got in the house.
Not the gator! Give me that shovel! Come here!
Get him off! Get that gator!
The Neverland Trailer Park.
She was chewing on my cables. Okay, so the first trailer I have for you. So this, and this is appropriate with Ed Asner's passing now, yes. But the last thing he got to do was Doug Days, which is a Disney Plus series. I got to click a thing to get it to open. Here we go.
I am Doug, and this makes me squirrel. I am warning you once again, but I will not warn you after that.
Get out of my azaleas.
I digged them.
Yeah, it's not digged, it's dug.
Yes?
No, you didn't dig, you dug.
I am dug.
September 1st, all episodes will be streaming, and I think they're going to be like little shorts.
Yeah.
That's what I'm expecting. We're focusing on Doug here, but I like Doug.
Yeah, me too.
So this is, I guess, it looks like it's following up where, you know, Carl's trying to retire. It looks like he's got a little home somewhere. Maybe it's out back of his retirement home or something. I don't know, but he still has Doug.
Yeah.
And I guess the squirrel is a character. Because when they show the characters, it's like, oh, look, it's Doug, it's Carl, it's Russell, and Squirrel. So the squirrel will be important. Squirrel! So that, of course, you know, I'm really behind, though, on my Disney Plus shows. I haven't watched last week's What If. We'll have a new one even tomorrow, and I haven't even watched last week's. And I still haven't finished watching all of the first season of The Bad Batch.
So, yeah, I need to finish that, too. So,
like I said, I've been marathoning Friends because it's
What
funny.
If or What If? No, I'm kidding.
What Ifs. Okay.
No, they actually have toys of the What If. I've seen.
Of course they do.
Yeah, you know.
Of course they do. Because it's money. Now, here's a series I didn't know that anybody wanted. Doogie Kamaloha MD.
What is that? Is that Doogie Howser?
Listen up.
Somebody help! Out of the way! You two, keep everyone back. I'm here to help you. This looks like a tension pneumothorax. I need to borrow this. Sorry!
You saved it.
Who is this kid?
My daughter, the doctor.
Earlier today, a man's life was saved by a local teen doctor.
Dr. Kamealoha, we'll be taking care of you.
Aloha, Mr. Lin.
Is this some kind of practical joke?
You know who she's like? Remember Doogie Howser? That show from the 90s?
She's like a real-life Doogie Howser. That's why we call her Doogie.
I never made the connection.
Girl, why did you think we called her Doogie?
Being a 16-year-old doctor is kind of like having a superpower.
Doctor, may I have a word with you?
I know you got a little something.
Ew,
right
on. Mom, gross.
Well, are you hungry?
I love you, doctor.
It's impossible to work with Lahela and be her mom. She shuts me out.
I was hoping we could take the car.
I'm afraid not.
A second ago, you were my boss. You don't get to control my entire life. I held a man's heart in my hand yesterday. I work so hard and get nothing.
My little doctor sister has so much to learn.
I think she just needs room to make mistakes like all teenagers. I'm afraid she's missing out.
Nothing's gonna stop me, nothing's gonna stop me now.
Tomorrow night will be my first date with Walter.
Hey.
Hi.
Have fun, you two.
I kissed Walter. This is my time
to shine. I'm a doctor now, and it's not fair that I get all that pressure but none of the fun. I just feel so ready for everything. You are extraordinary. You're just saying that because you're my mom. I'm saying it because it's true. The science supports my hypothesis. Walter likes me.
Science! Science! Science!
Hey, can you guys get out of here? It's my Xbox time.
Only on Disney Plus.
All right, so this series starts streaming on September the 8th, and it's Doogie Howser, MD, but, oh, it's like Doogie Howser. Remember the show from the 90s? Yeah, and I saw your eyes rolling at that.
Yeah.
But this is the modern Disney version, because Disney's new rules is not, story doesn't come first anymore. What comes first is they want to make sure that it focuses on non-white characters, and also, hey, if we can have female leads and gender swap, that's our goal. That's basically what they've done. They've recreated a version of Doogie Howser and, you know, setting in Hawaii so she can be Hawaiian, kind of Polynesian, so she's not white. That way they hit all of the checkbox of what their goal is. Yeah. And really, overall, there's nothing wrong with having non-white characters, but that shouldn't be your focus. Your focus should be original stories, which everything about this is completely unoriginal. It is Doogie Howser. She has the weird friend. She, instead of her father being a doctor at the hospital, it's her mother, but it's still the same thing that Doogie had with his dad being like the head, you know, physician at the hospital. It's everything's the same as Doogie Howser, but just different.
Yeah.
But yet the same.
Yeah.
So it's lacking the originality. It might be a good story. This is going to be like teen drama. And not that this wouldn't be good. This might be good. I might even check out an episode.
Yeah.
It could be good. And I'm mainly going to watch because Jason Scott Lee is playing her father. Now, you remember Jason Scott Lee played Bruce Lee in The Dragon?
Oh, he's a great actor.
And also in that live-action Jungle Book. He was Mowgli.
Great. He's a great actor. I've seen him on several things.
Lilo and Stitch. He was Dave? Eddie?
He was also on Back to the Future, too.
He was?
Yeah, he was in the future. He remember he had that weird hat on? He was bald. Had the weird hat on along with Griff.
He was one of Griff's gang. He just kind of, well, sort of like the one guy that was in the, he was in both of it too.
He was the
Phantom. Yeah.
Billy Zane.
Yes. I could not think of his name. Yeah.
Great
Titanic.
Actor.
Yeah.
Tremendous actor.
But yeah, you would not think of him.
I would say
Back
he should
future.
Be Lex Luthor. But yeah, he was.
Oh, he'd
be
a great
Back
Lex
future
Luthor.
One and two. Yeah, he was.
So. But yeah, this basically, I look at this trailer, I'm like, this is the new Disney format where their number one check marks is they want to make sure they're being quote unquote
woke.
Diverse. Well, woke. Okay, if we want to go there, but yes.
Oh, okay.
And they want to have, you know, more female characters. So their focus, of course, was to do that. But it's, of course, because story is taking a back burner, we're getting a recycle of something in the 90s,
yeah.
Which is okay. Sometimes they can remake things and they can make good stuff.
I have no problem with recycling.
But
as long as it's.
If it's good. Done well, and maybe this will be good.
Yeah, I'm not going to judge
you know,
yet, but
I do want to take
it
a look.
It is kind of strange. I mean, they did the same thing. I can't remember what channel right now. Oh, I think it was Netflix. They did the same thing with One Day at a Time, as far as just changing the race thereof, and I had no problem with that. But it was strange. It had the same basic story and everything else, just changed the race. And I thought it was kind of odd. You have to do that now, I guess. But I have no problem with different races and all. Yeah. I just think it's weird that you almost have to, or sexes, and you have to.
Or so like, you know, the Wonder Years is coming back and like, but instead of being original and getting a new series idea, which they, you know, you've got stuff where there's like, you know, Blackish and stuff like, okay, we want to have more diverse families. Great. And they're coming up with new ideas, but now we're like, oh, you're recycling an old idea.
Not trying to step on you in case you're going to talk about this, but I heard that they're doing the same with Rocketeer.
Rocketeer, I'm actually kind of excited about. I want to bring that because I like the idea of going with it. I think it's carrying the same rocket, but now a Tuskegee Airman is going to have it. That sounds kind of cool to me.
But the reasoning, from what I understood, had nothing to do with that. It was the same thing we were just talking about.
Yeah,
but at least
Disney
it's something
is more focused on being woke.
But that being said,
making good stories.
But that being said,
that sounds kind of cool to me.
That being said, at least it's something that is viable, something that we could see happening.
Yeah, I like
I would
this
love
idea.
It though. I would love it if Bill Campbell was to show up in it, and wouldn't that be great?
I forgot I was going to look at this. So this is The Rocketeer making a comeback on Disney Plus with David Ayelowo producing and circling
it.
To star Ed Reichert Penning. So they're still looking for a cast.
They said it could even perhaps be him, the producer, perhaps even doing it. But I don't know him. I mean, he might do a good job. I've never seen him in anything I'm aware of.
I don't know. Reichert wrote Lionsgate's hits feature Now You See Me, which I don't know that I saw.
He's
written for Marvel Netflix's Jessica Jones.
I've seen that. I didn't watch all
of that one either.
I couldn't get into it.
But yeah, there's a lot of different stuff. I think it sounds like a cool idea.
I really love The Rocketeer, and I've always wanted to see more of it. I read the comic books because I'm a geek.
I haven't read any of the comics.
I actually have a toy of him on my wall.
Yes, you do.
And I have
I got one too. I got one.
I
kept
it.
Mine in my box though.
Yeah, I love The Rocketeer. He's outstanding.
Yes, indeedy. So I'm hopeful for that, but it seems like, you know, we want to have more diverse families and stuff showing up. Great. But can we come up with some original ideas for them?
Yeah.
Because it seems like they don't feel like. Because the reason why you remake something is because you have a name brand already that people recognize. A recognizable brand sells more tickets.
Yeah.
But when you, it feels to me that when you're trying to, we want to make sure we have more people of different colors showing up on television or in movies. You're not confident that family or that, you know, those people can hold a show together on their own. So you have to cycle them into something that already exists to try to get attention to it. And it's like, no. Look, Tyler Perry built an entire empire of stuff on original characters, which I still need to probably watch some of those. When I first saw the trailer stuff for the Madea stuff, I was like, I don't know about that.
I just can't get it.
I did see a little bit of one of the movies once over in the university, and I was laughing hysterically. It was really funny. So I'm like, maybe I need to actually give these a chance. Maybe they're funnier than what the trailers made them look. But see, it just shows, look, you can create something new, and it can be successful.
I'll be truthful. This is just, please, nobody write this down and say that I'm thinking this is serious. I'm just surprised with Rainbow Bright they haven't done it and given a new meaning.
Oh, give it a chance. Give it a chance. They will.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. All right. So then the next one, this actually came out a month ago and I missed out.
Bond, any thug can kill. I have to know I can trust you.
Well, I understand 00s have a very short life expectancy.
Right now, we're getting clips from the previous films
You're
with...
You're dancing in a hurricane, Mr. Bond.
Is this really what you want? Always alone?
Having all music really doesn't help much.
We used to be able to get into a room with the enemy. And now they're just floating in the ether.
When her secret finds its way out, it'll be the death of you.
Oh my God. Target enough people.
Remember, people become the weapon. Who is he?
James, you don't know what this is.
James Bond, license to kill. In love with Madeleine Swann. I could be speaking to my own reflection. Only your skills die with your body. And life is all about leaving something behind. Isn't it?
Come on, Bond, where the hell are you?
Don't do this. There will be nothing left to save.
I have to finish this. You ever flown like this?
No.
All right, so October 8th, No Time to Die. This is Daniel Craig's final James Bond movie. And so this trailer really, you don't get a lot of dialogue. It's a lot of action sequence stuff. But it shows a lot of clips from all of his previous movies and then before it gets into the new one, because this is everything that he's gone through is leading him to this. Now, what we've heard rumors that this was leading to, and some other trailers showed a little bit more of her, but there's a new 00, a black woman, that we think is going to be the new 007. So James Bond will no longer be 007. She will. And they'll continue the franchise with her. Because James Bond has to become woke now, too. Because they can't have a kind of womanizing spy out there anymore. Not with the Me Too movement. No, okay, well, I said too much.
Once, whether that be the case or not, yeah. at least if they do it that way, at least it won't be that they're going to make her Jane Bond or anything
crazy
like
that. Yeah, at least they're passing it on to somebody. But You go to James Bond movies to see James Bond.
Yeah. That being said, it would be, I like the title.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you.
I listened a little bit of the title of the song. I know people are fans of Billie Eilish. I am not impressed.
Yeah.
I couldn't listen to the entire opening song. There was a video for it after that. And I was like, oh, that's
awful. Like these films good, but I'm not as big as fans of the original because I thought they got a little, they're good, but
yeah, they're good.
The first few burned me out. A little bit because they're trying to be so different than the original. And I grew up watching them with my dad and all. And it just was so different that wasn't very James Bond. I'm talking about the first two or three. But then once they started getting into it, I was like, good, but you waited six or seven years.
Had so many throwbacks to the classic stuff that was great.
Yeah, that was the one I really started saying. But to me, it was like, you waited too long. You kind of burned me out. But that being said, I'm liking them now, but I haven't even seen the last one yet. I need
Spectre. Well, you know, you've got access to my Vudu account. Spectre is on there.
There you go.
There you go, brother.
I'll watch
Spectre.
I need to see that.
One thing I'm excited about because I'm trying to think if I've actually seen that many movies with him, and I cannot think of the actor's name, but he played Freddie Mercury
Oh, he's a great actor.
Which I said, yeah, he's a great actor, but he's very traditional Bond villain. He's got kind of a scarred up face.
I saw that. I love that.
And he's got this white creepy mask on that's half broken in one side.
I did see that preview, yes.
He's going to be a great Bond villain.
He's been in a lot of things.
Yes, he has.
If I'm not mistaken, he was in one of the Batman films with Christopher Bale.
Christian Bale.
And he showed up for just a moment.
Might have.
Yeah, he was real young. And by that, I mean he just got started. He's been in a few things.
I'm thinking I've seen some stuff where he's popped up. Yeah,
he's on TV too on a show.
Yeah, he had a television show. Apparently went really
great
well.
Great actor. And I'm going to tell you something.
Computer Hacker or something.
You have to be able to accept a lot of things on that movie, but he was great in the Queen movie.
I still probably need to see that.
I got it.
But I hear it's completely fictitious in most cases.
And a lot of
but
areas.
That happens a lot.
But, oh, yeah. But he was really good as playing him. He does a great job.
And it'd be hard to really match up Freddie Mercury.
Oh,
really.
He does a great. I mean, he talks like him, walks like him. And, I mean, he does a great job.
Yeah. All right. So as we mentioned earlier, 20 years since Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Of course, I do want to share some memories of the experience of going to see it. But I found on Screen Rant 20 crazy details behind the making of the first Harry Potter movie that I wanted to jump into. So starting at 20, this is their list. J.K. Rowling handpicked certain cast members. That doesn't surprise me. She really wanted to be very hands-on, and I would too. If I'd written a book and they were going to make a movie, I would want to be a part of it. Sort of like George Lucas, you know, even though he didn't direct those other two of the original trilogy, he was there. Mm-hmm. He was he still kept a good hand on it, which is probably why those movies are still better than the sequel trilogy. But that's okay. That's a whole other thing. So specifically, she had already mentally cast the roles of Hagrid, McGonagall, and Snape. It says here, Rowling immediately selected Robbie Coltrane, Dame Maggie Smith, and Alan Rickman to play their respective roles, clearly as a sign of confidence and faith in their ability to make these characters work. Now, here's something I did find very funny because I've watched, you know, all the behind-the-scenes stuff on the set. She was very specific, and this happens a lot with British characters. They want to make sure that they want to have very British people. Yeah. They would never cast an American to play one of their British characters.
Yeah.
Yet our most iconic comic book characters, Superman, Batman now, and Spider-Man being played by British people.
Yep.
And Spider-Man has been played by two British people.
Yep.
Now, why don't we have the same qualms British people have? I don't know. But in Britain, they would never let that fly. I just find that very funny. But that's why you're never going to see an American doctor.
Yeah, it's okay. But it's just how it is.
I just find it funny.
Yeah.
And that's why, because at one point they talked about doing it as an animated movie, and then I think at one point they talked to Steven Spielberg about directing it, but she was like, no, I don't want this to be become Americanized, and you know.
Yeah, a little bit of prejudice there, was to say.
Yeah, that's what
I prejudice in the acting part. I don't mean she has her own ideas, which she's a creator, and I can understand that. I mean, I'll be truthful. Some of the characters I used to mess around with as a teenager, you know, I had my own ideas. I had my own character, and I always had an idea that I'd like to have someone like Steve Martin's type of voice because I can hear that.
For Toilet Man, right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, fun stuff.
Yes, he had a character created called Toilet Man. He had a big toilet on his head. It was funny.
I still have that guy I'm messing around with once in a while. But anyway, the point is I have in my own mind the types of things I'm looking for, and she does too, and I can understand. I respect it.
But all right, so the 19th thing, as I mentioned, it was almost animated, which I already just mentioned it. 18, Daniel Radcliffe had green contacts, but didn't wear them. They actually filmed a little bit with the green contacts, but his eyes just, they reacted badly to the contacts, so they took them out. So that's why Harry Potter has blue eyes. I'm finding a lot of this stuff on this list I knew. But they're showing an image here. On some of the shots, if you look at it just right, you can realize his eyes do look green because some of the early shots, yes. But yeah, the poor guy, I can understand. I would never be able to put contacts in. That's why I have glasses.
I have contacts, but I don't wear them very often.
Yeah, I couldn't stick anything in my eye. Which, speaking of being out and like watching Friends, they had the whole episode where Rachel has an eye infection, and she's freaking out anytime something comes in her eye. I'm like, I understand. Of course, they're doing it for laughs and making her a big baby about it, but I'm like, I kind of understand that because stuff in my eyes.
Nope.
17, several books were almost combined into single movies. That would have been a bad idea.
Yeah.
That would have been a really bad idea. So, yeah, it's nice. I still get bothered I guess it's not as bad when they split one book into two movies because sometimes you can fit more stuff. And it can be done right. I mean, Deathly Hallows, I think, worked pretty good splitting into two movies. But The Hobbit, splitting The Hobbit into three three-hour movies was a stupid idea.
I didn't care for that much. That's just me.
That's odd. J.K. Rowling turned down the role of Lily Potter? Really? Wow. They offered it to probably just, you know, it would have been funny to have her as a cameo, but yeah, her as Lily, I would have been weird.
Yeah.
So, 15, Rowling demanded the cast be all British. I already mentioned this. She demanded it. Now, that'd be like Stan Lee saying, you must have all Americans playing Spider-Man. But yeah, we Americans do not have the same qualms. Mini-Me had a cameo. In fact, yes, Vern Troyer, best known for Austin Powers, did make an appearance, but it says you likely missed him. See, I had thought originally, it's understandable why fans weren't able to catch this cameo. Although it was Troyer underneath all the makeup and prosthetics, it was Warwick Davis' voice that ended up being used.
Yeah.
And it says when Harry visits Gringotts for the first time, Troyer makes an appearance as Griphook, the goblin who points Harry in the right direction. Now, Griphook was played by Warwick Davis in The Deathly Hallows.
Sure.
Now, Vernon Troyer, I think, had passed away by then.
If he hasn't, it was right after. It was right about time.
And, you know, if not before, it was around that time. But yeah, that's one of the things that kind of surprised me that Vernon Troyer didn't get to come back as Griphook. But because I could tell, because you could tell it wasn't Warwick Davis, because Vernon Troyer is a little smaller than Warwick.
Smaller built, even.
And he doesn't get around as well as Warwick does.
In the head and everything. And I don't mean that as an insult, you know.
Yeah, but he's differently shaped than Warwick Davis. So I knew it was him, and because Warwick Davis was playing Flitwick.
Yeah.
So anyways, all right, so Liam Aiken was initially cast as Harry but lost the role. I have no idea who Liam Aiken is, but he's best known for his role as Klaus Baudelaire. Oh, in 2004 is a series of unfortunate events. That's very interesting. However, Aiken is from the United States, which went against the British-only rule. Thank you, you racist.
Not racist.
J.K. Rowling, that's racist. We're going to call it racist because that's what we got to do. That's going to be fun.
We'll call it... what do we call?
Country-ish?
Country-ish?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm calling it racist.
Landist.
David Thewlis almost played Professor Quirrell. Now, David Thewlis, for anyone who doesn't know, he played Remus Lupin, which... the funny thing is I had not recognized him from Dragonheart. He was the villain in Dragonheart when he was a lot younger. He looked entirely different.
I remember that.
Now, one thing, I might mention this later, the actor who played Professor Quirrell was told that he was going to later be playing Voldemort as well. And that he's very talented. He even voiced the Voldemort in the back of his head. But one thing I wish they would do now is maybe special edition this thing, because let's face it, the effects look god awful in that first movie.
Yeah.
But if they could fix and put...
I always thought it did.
Ray Fiennes' hair or face on the back of it, and let Ray Fiennes even voice the back of the head, and just kind of, because with the technology now, they could just simply replace and put Ray Fiennes' face on the back of his head. That would be great, because Ray Fiennes, you know, had the snake nose. He really didn't have a nose.
Yeah.
And the Voldemort in that first movie has his nose and everything. It's like that doesn't even match the description that J.K. Rowling gave in the book. Rupert Grint sent a rap video as his audition for Ron. I knew this. They talk about it in the making things. I wish they would somehow know they'd leak that out. That would be freaking hilarious. I would like to see that. Daniel Radcliffe's parents rejected the role for him at first. I believe one of his parents, his father, I think, ended up being a producer on there. Yeah. But they had to actually convince him. And actually how they decided on him, he had done, I think, a small thing in, I think, a television version of, I believe it was an Oliver Twist. That he had been in before as a BBC thing. And they went to some sort of play, and I think Chris Columbus was sitting next to Daniel Radcliffe, and he's like, I want to get a chance to talk to Daniel a little bit myself at this play, because he's friends with his parents. And he's like, I'd really like you to play Harry Potter, while they were sitting there at this play. So it took some convincing to get the parents.
I read that, or heard it somewhere.
Emma Watson had 8 auditions before she was cast. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me, because they, you know, trying to get the right characters for some of this stuff. And frankly, I like Hermione better than I like Emma Watson, but that's a whole other different thing. Robin Williams requested a role in the film without pay. Wow. He wanted to play Hagrid, but he's not British, even though he offered to do it for free. I love Robbie Coltrane, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen him even in James Bond movies, and with the Pierce Brosnan, where he played Valentine.
Yeah, he's great.
Robbie Coltrane is great. So I love him as Hagrid, but I would be interested to see what Robin Williams would have done as Hagrid would have been.
Especially now that he's gone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My goodness. I would like to have seen that, but he wasn't British. Peeves was in the movie and was played by Rick Mile. Really? Okay, now this I didn't know. I got to read this entire thing. It says, as an actor, getting your scenes cut has to be a tough experience. You put in all this work to bring your character to life, only for it to never see the light of day. This was Rick Mile's experience working in the first Harry Potter film, playing the role of Peeves. Now, for people who haven't read the book, Peeves is a poltergeist, and he's a mainstay in all the books. He basically causes havoc and mischief. He's kind of fun. But he had a tough time during the filming. His line delivery led to the child actor's a consistent take ruining laughter. Apparently he was funny, which that's, you need Peeves to be funny because otherwise he's just a pest. But Peeves becomes useful when you have like the bad teacher, when Umbridge is around, or even in the last book when they're the Battle of Hogwarts, because Peeves is still loyal to Dumbledore, even though he's a jerk.
Yeah.
He's loyal to Dumbledore. So he fights and, you know, he fights in his way. And they even encourage Peeves on some of the, his mischief when they're trying to tick off Umbridge when she takes over the school. And, she, you know, he's unscrewing the chandelier or whatever to drop it on her. And McGonagall, because I was like, Peeves, I believe that turns the other direction.
I read the last couple of books. I did, because I didn't get into it to the last, and I got impatient. I remember.
You need to read all those books.
Yeah,
I've gone through the audios several times. So yeah, he was making the kids laugh, so they end up cutting him out. I wish they'd have kept Peeves in some fashion. They kept him in the game adaptions though, because the games pulled a lot more from the books, I think, than the movies. Sixth fact: scenes with the main trio were filmed chronologically. Now they do this frequently with kid actors.
It's easier for them.
It's a lot easier for the kids. Plus, if they kind of grow up a little bit, yep, it seems to fit naturally. Lot. Which, of course, between the first and the second one, Daniel Radcliffe's voice dropped severely. Yep. So that made a big difference.
And they shoot up a lot. I'm talking about, let me rephrase that. They get taller.
They do. They get taller. Yeah.
Shoot up could be used in a whole other way. I didn't mean like that.
And I mean Rupert Grint, I think he did end up taller than all of them, which is good. But Ron is supposed to really sprout, and he's the tallest. Yeah. You know, he's all kind of gangly, and as described. Now, here's an interesting. All right, so Spielberg was looking to make it with Warner Brothers. He almost directed with Haley Joel Osment as Harry.
That would have been interesting.
But, oh, he's not British.
That is a
J.K. racist.
That is a prejudice. We'll say prejudice.
A prejudice.
That is a prejudice.
It's fun calling her a racist. I'm just doing that because it's funny.
It is a prejudice.
I'm being facetious, y'all, but I'm just being
it
funny.
It is a prejudice for certain.
It is a prejudice.
There's no doubt about
Haley
that.
Haley Joel Osment would have made an interesting Harry Potter.
He also would have been a great Anakin, which he nearly had. So anyway, just a fun fact.
Yeah. Chris Columbus only wanted to cast child actors with stable families.
Really?
Well, he probably wanted to have kids that were, you know, two-parent, probably hopefully a little bit better behaved,
course,
a little bit more
Harry,
focused.
That wouldn't have mattered.
Right. But he wanted on set, I'm sure.
Oh, I see.
On set, everything, you know, it says his examination of the actors and their families was his way of ensuring they had a strong support system in place before achieving any kind of fame or fortune. That's another good idea. True. Make sure you've got a good family to fall on, and plus you want to make sure that, okay, your parents have raised that kid right to where they're going to behave well enough on set. James Horner was the first choice for composer. Now, I do love James Horner, but
I'm nuts about James Horner. However,
I got to go John Williams.
However, I got a fave five. James Horner is a couple behind. Well, it's right behind, actually. Right behind John Williams. Yeah. But John Williams will always be number one.
He's the king.
Yep.
Canterbury Cathedral refused to allow filming due to pagan imagery. Yeah, remember, we'll talk about that here later. Of course, there was controversy that some people freaked out over that. And, number one, Terry Gilliam was J.K. Rowling's first choice for director. Now, of course, he's known for Monty Python and Brazil. He wrote the script for Labyrinth, I believe, and also wrote the script, and I think he even directed Time Bandits, which... Yeah. I can say I did enjoy Time Bandits, but I don't think it was as good as what I was led to believe.
Same here just recently, actually, this year.
Yeah. Yeah, just this past year when I was living in a hotel, it was on TV. And I was like, "Oh, Time Bandits! I've heard so much about it, and it's enjoyable, but it's weird, and it's kind of fun." But I can't say I was loving it as much as
Kevin Klein's the best part of it, in my opinion.
I can't remember Kevin Klein who he played, but Kevin Klein's always entertaining anyway.
He was a pirate of sorts.
Yeah, of course he was.
Yeah, but he was he's great, always is.
Yeah, indeedy. So now I remember Metro North Mall, back when that still existed. I worked in a KB toy store. I also worked on Montgomery Ward there in high school. But I remember when I was working at a KB toy store, I would frequently go down on the bottom level. And it was frequently because like the KB toy store was like right almost above it. So I'd come down the stairs on my break and I'd go, and I think it was a Walden Books, and I would go down there and check for comics. I remember when I think it was the third book had come out, and I had never heard of this stuff, but I remember they had a huge display and stuff hanging from the ceiling for that third book being out. And I remember seeing that, but I had no idea what it was. It was a kid riding around on a big bird griffin thing. You know, that's all I really knew about it. I was like, okay. So when the movie came out, I really was like, well, all right, I don't know what this is. Yeah. And I remember reading in a newspaper the review, and I had to agree with the reviewer after I saw the movie, that compared it to Star Wars, because really, they use the same character types. Harry Potter is Luke Skywalker. Ron is obviously Han Solo. And Hermione is obviously Leia. They even compared Hagrid to Chewbacca. But one other thing I'd like to add in is Ginny was Mara Jade, for those who read any of the expanded book universe. Because Mara Jade was, a redhead who was actually very skilled as and became a Jedi, but had been led astray into the dark side at one point before, you know, becoming romantically involved with Luke. Sounds just like Ginny.
I don't know enough about her to say.
Yeah. Well, Mara Jade, if you go into the, like, the original Thrawn trilogy, she's actually kind of working against Luke. And when we first get enough stuff with Ginny, she's being seduced by evil, the dark side. And so Mara Jade was kind of dark side, but she came back around to the good side and was romantically involved with Luke. And apparently, I think they even had some children in the later books. Yeah. But so Ginny was Mara Jade. So that really ripped off Star Wars. So when I actually got a free pass to go see the movie. And so I watched it, and I was like, wow, this is Star Wars. And I was even a little bothered by the fact that, being that in high school, I studied mythology. I was a mythology club president my senior year. Yes, I know, I'm a nerd. And having Cerberus, who is like the guardian of Hades, to being reduced to guarding a little trap door, I was like, and I felt like there wasn't really much original about that first book, and that first movie, at least. I didn't find it to be that original. The effects really aren't that good with the computer-generated characters. And when you consider this came out about the same time as Lord of the Rings, and you had really good-looking computer-generated characters, when you look at that first Harry Potter film, you're like, it seemed like they could have done better. So I was kind of like, not that impressed. And I had, of course, people at my church that, of course, were, there was the, almost like the satanic scare of the 80s, where they even thought D&D was leading people to the devil, which it wasn't. That was a bunch of rumors and hearsay stuff. But people were freaking out, and a lot of the big concern was, well, where's the magic come from? Like, well, in fairy tales, you don't get a lot of where the magic come from, and this is what I call fairy tale magic. Now, the stuff you would be worried about is actual sorcery. If they're drawing circles on the floor and summoning a spirit, stay away from that, because that is legit real, and that is dangerous.
And I'll come from a viewpoint on a completely interesting side. At the time, I was a children's church leader, mm-hmm. and teaching children's church people. And I was come to by my parents and asking me questions about what I thought of Harry Potter. Now, in reality, I had only known one thing of it. I was working at a Sam's Club at the time, and I saw some books being put out for sale. And I saw these books, and this book came, if you bought it, I think it was the second or third book. I think it was the third book before the movie came out. And I never heard of it, but I saw that it came with this pewter, I don't know, a pewter little figure or whatever that it had Hagrid and Harry. And I thought, that's interesting. I didn't know what it was. But then I started hearing people talk, you know, people do. And it's talking about how it's all wicked and evil. And so I assumed it had to be because people, and I'll tell you why. Because working right by at the time was a woman who's into witchcraft.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about this
and
woman.
And she told me that this is good for all witchdom, is what she said.
Yeah.
I didn't know what witchdom was. But she said this will teach all children to be involved with witchdom and satanic worship and all. So keep in mind, this is what I'd heard from a woman who was all into that.
Yeah.
And so I had to say, oh, this can't be good, I said.
And it's really whatever you bring into it is what you're going to take
exactly.
out of it.
Exactly. And the devil does work that way. And I am a pastor, keep in mind.
Yeah.
But the devil does work that way. So you can get bad from things, but you can also get good from things.
Now, right.
That being said, so I had parents asking me what I thought. I said I hadn't seen it. So for their sake, I went out and saw it the opening day. Because the parents were telling me, I'm real scared. And so I went and saw it. And I don't blame them for being afraid because kids were hearing from other kids about, this is going to be good. So I went out and saw it. I personally did not like it in the beginning. I didn't like it at all because the effects were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thrown into a world where I didn't understand what they were talking about with the stunt. I'm talking about the sport they had.
Quidditch.
Quidditch.
Which, if you really analyze Quidditch, it's kind of dumb because the entire game is based upon, you could just have the seeker out there and do the entire game.
I didn't.
None of the other positions really matter.
And I didn't understand it. I was in a whole thing I didn't understand. And I was also, I wasn't feeling good because I was tired. I worked at night.
Oh,
I was tired.
That didn't help.
And the effects to me looked awful. the whole thing was, I don't know, it's weird. And I kind of went with a bad attitude in truth because of what that woman who's into witchdom or what do you want to call it?
Yeah, what she had said.
Yeah,
to
what
you.
She yeah. said. So I already had that attitude. So when the parents asked me, I said, well, in all truth, I did like the music and I did like some of the things about it in the beginning. It had almost a Christmassy feeling because the way I was a kid, you go see certain movies and it reminded me of that.
Yeah.
Because of John Williams, I'll give him credit.
Right.
So, and I love John Williams. So I told the parents, in all reality, I don't see what's evil about it. I didn't like it, I said. But in truth, if as long as you raise your kids right, to know what's wrong, to know what's right, as the Bible says, by the way, which is in Psalm, or Proverbs, excuse me. If you raise a child up in the way he should go, it will not depart from him. And I told him that, and which is Proverbs 23:6, I believe. But anyway, I told him that, and some do see it as satanic. I don't see it as fiction. Now, there are some things I can see that not necessarily in these shows, but in others. But I don't believe it's of the devil. But then years later, when I was in deep depression, and Jeremy, you know, when I was in deep depression, suddenly,
we can get back to that story because I can pick up at a different layer.
But Harry Potter helped me tremendously.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you that I love this film now. Just don't like special effects.
But I can jump in of how we did get around to that point, because I went for a long time that I was like, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, this is very unoriginal. It ripped off Star Wars. I'm not interested in this. I don't care how popular it is. And the church we were going to, the guy who was our music director and everything, he and his wife, they were just all up in it and they were just loving it. I'm like, I'm sorry, this is unoriginal. And because I didn't see anything satanic in it. Now, I do want to mention, though, I have recently listened to, I guess it was a visual podcast. And there was a girl that had gotten into the occult. And she mentions that when she was deep in the occult, the Harry Potter films did feature a lot of stuff that kind of helped feed that. But of course, that's one of the things, you're going to take out what you've brought into it. She was already into it at the time. She, of course, has now come to Christ and is now, but now she won't touch anything Harry Potter stuff because she said too much of it preaches to what she used to believe.
Yeah, I don't blame her.
But
for that.
Yeah, I look at it as being fairy tale magic where it all seems to be fairy and
it hits her emotions there.
But now, how things kind of turned around for me is when the Goblet of Fire, when I first saw a trailer for that, I was like, you know, that actually looks kind of cool. And oh, look, you know, and having a competition of dragons, I was like, this feels a bit more original and unique now. And so I'm like, I kind of want to see this movie, but I don't know what happened in the previous movie, you know, because I was, you know, two movies down in between having seen the first one and the fourth one. So I thought, well, let me go ahead and let's see what the books are about. So I went and I put an order in at the library for the audiobooks. I was working at LabCorp still at the time. Where I was basically sitting there doing data entry. And I put in an order for all the books, the audiobooks. But because it was so popular at the time, I couldn't ever really get them in order at first. So the first audiobook I got was the third one. Now that third one, I realized, oh, you get in the books. This is a mystery story. And I was intrigued. And I was like, halfway in, I was like, you know, this is actually pretty good. And I was like, this is a pretty good mystery story. I'm all kind of intrigued. I was like, I actually enjoyed this. I said, you know, that's not bad. And I think Heather even came around for lunch that day when I started. I was like, you know, the books, that first movie might have been kind of, you know, unoriginal, but, you know, the book, it's this third book is actually really good. So the funny thing, so I went through the third book, and then the next one I got was the fifth book, which now I've skipped another gap. I kind of got an idea of what happened in the Chamber of Secrets a little bit, because it'll mention, you know, the previous stuff in the third one. But now you missed the fourth book. You missed the Return of Voldemort. And now I'm driving right into the Order of Phoenix. And oh, my gosh, what happened to Voldemort is back now. Of course, I was expecting Harry to find out Voldemort was his father as well, because, you know, the unoriginality that seemed to go on. But that's, you know, didn't happen that way. But so yeah, I went into the fifth one, and then I think I finally got like the first and second one before, because the sixth one had just come out, the sixth book.
It was coming out about,
the time, you know, so it was going to be all before I got the sixth one, but I finally made it. The last one I got to hear before I got to the sixth one was finally the fourth one, but I finally got the first and the second one. But at that time, I was like, you know, I kind of want to see the movies. Now I think I understand it better. And so my friend Josh, who's the one that took me to Walt Disney World, I borrowed the movies from him, and then Heather, and now Heather could probably join in this conversation if she's still in there. She's sitting on the couch. I thought she could be a part of the conversation. But we sat and watched it, and now, at this point, the only book I had really finished was the third one. And so I was like, first one, I kind of know what's happened. And I stayed awake this time because in the theater, I kind of started dozing. So, you know, and watched the second one. Of course, Heather had seen clips of the second one and thought, what, is Harry the only one capable of doing anything? But we watched the first one and second one. So, well, those are fun. And I prefer the Chris Columbus directed ones, I must say.
Yeah, me too.
The feel he had was more fun and fit more of the tone of the books, really, I felt. The third one, they rearranged the story because I really enjoyed that book.
And he was one of the characters.
That third movie really messed with the book. It followed it, but not very tightly at all.
Warwick Davis didn't look the same at all.
Yeah. Well, he was supposed to be a different person.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was the choir director. He wasn't Flitwick. He was cast as the choir director.
Okay, that's true.
They later decided, you know what, that's just going to have to be Flitwick.
Oh, okay.
But they kept him focused on being a choir director, but that you do see him doing Flitwick things around the castle.
Well, no
after
wonder
that.
I've been confused all these years.
Yeah, I know. They made a mess of it. And heck, even the third one, they lost Crab or Goyle, one of the two, which the actor who played Crab was, he got in some criminal activity a little bit, apparently, and that's why you don't see him in the seventh film.
Okay.
And he got swapped out for that other, they put in Blaise Zabini instead. But yeah, he got in some legal problems, I guess, at some point.
That's
but yeah, so it got kind of weird. So, but yeah, so I thought that, well, the third movie didn't follow so good. But at that point, though, we were ready to be able to go to see Goblet of Fire. And I remember going to the movie theater and we got front row seats clearer to the left side. And I sat like, y'all can't see what I'm doing, but broken neck trying to watch. But Goblet of Fire is still one of my favorites of that movie. I think that's
my favorite, really.
And even though it's not John Williams doing the music, the guy that they got to do the music, I think it was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
He did a really great job.
When I first got to go to see the theater, you had me borrow all four. And
well, you didn't get to go to the theater to see
I did finally go to the fifth one. To go see the fifth one.
Which we'll get to that story in a bit.
So I went to see the fourth one. And then the fifth one, I borrowed all four of them.
Well, the fifth one we went together,
yeah,
but we'll get on to that. Get all your early stuff, and then we'll talk about going to the fifth one.
I saw it, borrowed all four. This is right when the fifth one was coming out. Borrowed all four, like a week or so before, and I started watching. I was
buying you the books, too.
Yeah, you buy me the books, and I thought, the funny thing is I'm impatient. I went out and bought the sixth book, and right when the fifth book was coming out, right when the fifth movie was coming out, it was right when the time they were bringing out the seventh book.
Yeah, the seventh book came out that night.
So we went out.
Now we got to tell this story.
Go ahead.
Yes. We got to tell the whole story because we went and it was our tradition after vacation in Bible school, we go out to a movie.
Yeah.
And so we went out and you bought those cockroach cluster candies.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Of course I guess it was Sunday school that you brought the Birdie Boss Everclear, but we had the cockroach clusters, which was chocolate.
Yeah. That was another movie that we did that, but still, go ahead.
Well, because I think we went to a couple different times. But I remember we had the cockroach clusters when it was like a grape gummy with chocolate on the outside. But we went to go see the movie and then we went straight to Walmart to buy the seventh book.
Yeah.
Which was funny because the very next day, Heather and I went, Heather, do you remember where we went? It was a Saturday. We had to go out of town for something. We went on a weekend thing. She's been on their phone.
I don't remember.
Okay. But we went out of town and we like brought the book. And I'm like, I was having to drive. I was like, you know, I'd rather be sitting there reading it while we're driving, but I would probably get car sick. So Heather can read without getting car sick. I don't know how she does it. She can't look at a screen without getting car sick while driving. But she can read. So she was getting to read. And I was like, man, I want to read too. But when we got to the hotel, read. When we got back home, she was tired when we came back home and she went to go take a nap. I laid there on the couch and I just went whole hog and I finished reading that
personally,
thing, man.
Was reading the sixth book at that point, my sister, and then we're reading the seventh. I have some hard feelings at this point because, difficult feelings, because this is right when all that happened that night, we went and saw that. That's when my closest aunt passed away that night.
Oh, yeah.
And that was when we were getting the book. And I love my aunt. She would have loved all that. She went and saw the first one with me. And I loved her so much. My aunt LaDonna. I love her.
Good memories. She was great. But so in the process now, of course, with this, we have maybe I should get this stuff out of the fridge. So I mentioned before, I have the unofficial Hogwarts holiday cookbook. We didn't get to do the pumpkin pasties. I really need my wife's help to make the crust.
They are selling. I was told, I think it was from our friend Seth, was telling me that they're, or somebody was telling me they're selling some of these things at Starbucks or something. They're selling the pumpkin or the what's the other one, the butterbeer.
Well, yeah, butterbeer is good, a better warm, I think,
but they're selling it there, and I believe the pumpkin one too, but
going to Starbucks for it though.
But they are selling it.
That's interesting.
So I'll just tell you,
but so I have, and I the intention for this show was going to be recorded over the weekend and we were going to make this stuff live, but I made some pumpkin juice and I made some butterbeer. Now the pumpkin juice essentially, I mean, it actually does have a can of pumpkin in there, but it's some apple cider. It's called for peach nectar, which I couldn't find, but I found some peach juice. I figured it'd be close enough. Now, the apple cider I use actually had some pumpkin spice in it. I think maybe I shouldn't have done that. And it's the apple cider that Walmart carries now is not very good. I think I should have just used apple juice because it said I could have done that. But it's some pumpkin spices, some cinnamon, nutmeg, and stuff like that all in there. We've tried some of the pumpkin juice. Now, I found it to be with the just a little extra tart, and I think it was the apple cider. Next time I make it, I'll use some different stuff. But overall, I liked the pumpkin juice. That was pretty good, but it was a little tart. It was kind of sweet. It's not as sweet as butterbeer was, but yeah, I liked the pumpkin. What did you think of the pumpkin juice? Was it similar to what you got at Universal?
Yeah, it was similar. It was, you know, it was the one at the Universal was a little more liquidy than this, but it was still good.
Yeah, I think having a can of pumpkin in it.
Yeah, but it was still good. And then now the butterbeer was good, but man, I couldn't finish it because it was so rich and thick. And of course, I didn't heat it up. So that's part of
it. That's one of the things I even mentioned. It's like I'd warm it up because it's kind of like a hot cocoa, except for it's butterscotch.
The reason why I didn't, in all reality, is because I didn't want to make any noise.
We were watching a movie.
And I didn't want to be noisy or rude.
Yeah.
But all that being said, it was good, but it.
I'll have you try some of it warm before you leave here today. Yeah. But yeah, the first thing the butterbeer had me do was one cup of butter. Now that is two sticks of butter. I melted that down with a cup and a half of butterscotch chips.
Yeah.
Then add maple syrup.
Oh, but it's diet.
Well, my maple syrup was light, but maple syrup, I did a Splenda mix of brown sugar. And then you put a bunch of buttermilk in it.
Will Ferrell would be proud as the elf.
Yeah, Will Ferrell as Buddy the Elf would have been going to town. We couldn't finish it. Heather doesn't even like butterscotch. I gave her some. Poor girl. I thought she was going to throw up. She did not like it at all.
See the face she's making.
I wanted to have her try it just in case she might have liked it, but no, she didn't like it at all.
It was a lot richer than the butterbeer that I had. Super rich. The butterbeer I had at Universal. It was rich, but it wasn't that rich.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's why if you heat it up, it thins it out.
Okay. Well.
So I'm going to heat you up some, and you can try some here before you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm not making that butterbeer ever again.
Yeah.
Now the pumpkin juice, I think I could make again. The pumpkin pasties, I still want to try, but we didn't get the crust made. And instead of using the recipe that's in the book, I bought some Jiffy pie crust stuff that I think will be fine because you're basically making like pumpkin stuff with some minced green apple.
Oh, that
and then you do
good.
Like a fold over, kind of like a fruit pie, a hopeless fruit pie. So I do want to try those. There's a lot of other recipes I'm going to try out there at some point. There's even a good hot cocoa recipe in there. I want to give it a shot.
Good.
So, but this does remind me, and if y'all go to our YouTube channel, if you just simply search for Neverland, the Fandom Nexus, there's two of them. One is kind of connected to my personal and one is a separate account, but we did a few years ago, we bought at that soda shop down on, not on the plaza, but in the city market, they had that pumpkin soda and like two different types of pumpkin soda. And we tried those out. So we have a live taste test. Plus we did some Birdie Bots flavored beans.
Yes.
And I got the vomit one and you won. Because you could keep yours down. I couldn't keep it down.
I couldn't do it.
I had to vomit up the vomit flavored bean.
I barely could.
But you didn't eat a vomit one. You got it. You got something. You got one that wasn't great, but you didn't get vomit.
No.
But you did good. But I was like, I spit the vomit out and said, all right, Phil, sorry, you won.
He took the vomit.
I spit it out. I spit out the vomit. I couldn't do it. Ugh. It's so bad. So, but we actually had one of the Sunday school kids, I think I remember, I think he was in Vacation Bible School, we had a kid that he got a vomit when he actually said he kind of liked it.
Oh, yeah, that was very nasty.
Ew.
I never told his folks.
All right, but that's going to wrap it up for this week.
Yes.
Of course, I want to get our thank yous out there.
Yes.
We want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite,
absolutely,
and Darren Wilhite of the Will Height and Wall Show for their help in creating the intro. Want to remind everybody, go to neverlandpodcast.com. That is our website. You get all of the fun there. We have a Facebook like fan page and group you can join. Also, while you're on neverlandpodcast.com, check out my podcast reviews where you can see my reviews right there. I've got a real-time thing of reviews. Plus, you click in there. If you're a podcaster for a very, very reasonable fee, you can get around the world, all of your reviews, you can get emailed to you because Apple... here, it's only going to let me see reviews from the United States. It won't let me see Canada or around the world. But my podcast reviews collects all those reviews from around the world and lets me take a look at it because it's important to see your reviews because there's people who actually are going to be helpful with a criticism. It's possible. Plus, it's nice to hear what people enjoy, and it does warm your heart when you get to see people who are enjoying the show. But it's also nice when people are like, you know, this is great, but I didn't like this so much.
Yeah.
And if they do it in a helpful way, you learn from it. And you're like, I'm going to remember that I can improve on this, because you always should try to make your show better. But, of course, as I like to say, oh, we do have a voicemail line, by the way, 816-226-6492. But as we like to say, get lost in an adventure.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.